Hello and welcome to the Smells Like Infinite Sadness podcast. I'm your host, Michael Taylor. Those of you who don't know, I run the website, smellslikeinfinitesadness.com. It's a blog covering the best alternative rock from the 80s and 90s up to present day. I'm a proud middle-aged Gen Xer who is still obsessed with the music of his youth and loves to talk about it. And today I'm speaking to Melanie Parsons, the vocalist and bassist for Atlanta hard rockers Roy of Thunder. The band are back with Rebuilding the Mountain, their first album in 5 years, out June 16th via Spine Farm Records. Like past efforts, including Wick and Crooked Doors, it sees the group continue their unique marriage of classic rock and 90s alternative with a contemporary edge. It also marks the return of drummer Evan DePrima. It's also one of the band's most direct and immediate efforts, reflecting the group's recent struggles with sobriety and renewed focus on their musical vision. And front and center is Melanie Parsons, the powerhouse vocalist with an inimitable voice and delivery that is alternately fierce and introspective. Today's interview, I speak to Parsons about the band's struggle with sobriety, how conquering her demons rejuvenated her dedication to Royal Thunder, how the group's songwriting process has changed, reuniting with DePrima, and much more. So check out the interview and stick around afterwards. I'll be playing the track Cut off the new album. All right. So I love the new album. I've been listening to it for the past couple weeks. And I was reading the press release, and it seems like you guys had kind of a rough past couple of a few years as far as like getting sober and all the stuff that you all went through. So I was wondering, I guess, why do you think everybody in the band kind of hit kind of a hard time all at once? Is it the pandemic that kind of exacerbated things, or just?
I think definitely for me, I know that that played a huge factor in me going further down than I already was. I was pretty low starting out. I think after Evan left the band, with all due respect to anybody we've played with, because anybody that, you know, came along and helped carry the torch, especially on drums at that time, I feel like there was just that sense that something was missing. After our band broke up. So in that, I think we were continuing to play before the pandemic, but we were really fucking depressed. And I think the first thing when you feel bad is like, you know, you want to hit the eject button and not fucking face your pain. Like, who wants to feel pain?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure. But we were avoiding how much it hurt and how it almost felt like in the back of our minds we knew it was over, because without Evan it was just kind of just different and not as fulfilling to miss that. Like, you know, it's like having a really, really cool puzzle and like he took his piece and we like carved another one out and put it in there. I was like, man, it's just not like flush. But so then the pandemic hit, and, you know, as we all know, it fucked with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize what was inside of me, like what kind of darkness was in. I mean, I've always known, you know, struggle with depression and stuff like that, anxiety. And the pandemic hit, and I was like, dude, definitely like a fucking very fucking depressed and socially awkward and full of anxiety. All this shit I just didn't realize, but I had a lot of time to face. And so yeah, I personally just got deeper into my fucking like drugs and drinking and fucking being as wild as I possibly could because I wanted to have fun and feel good. And I thought that was, I did have fun. It was great. And at all that to say, not just to focus on myself, but I know Josh and Evan were going, Evan was going through his own thing. I'll let him tell his story. He's got one. And Josh had already started, kind of was at the beginning stages of his sobriety. So, I think we all got sober because in those three separate experiences, like away from each other and not playing, we all just came to different places that we considered our bottom. For me, it wasn't until February 1st, well, the week before that, I was just like very fucking sick. I was very sick during the three shows that we played in January. I was holding it together, especially the one in Atlanta. I was bleeding, vomiting, all kinds of things were coming out of my body. It didn't feel great. I think it was partly because I kept trying to stop drinking and I couldn't. And I'd always come back to it. I think it was just kind of like a withdrawal kind of thing. But February 1st, I got really, really fucking sick. And I was in Philly with my friend Mike. And I was like, I called home. I was like, dude. And we had a long conversation about it, Josh and I and his girlfriend. And they were like, Royal Thunder's done unless you go to rehab or just find some way to get sober. And if you don't go to rehab, then you have to come live with us. Or the option is there to come live with us. And your job is to quit your job where you're at. And God, this is the longest answer in the world. I'm sorry. They were like, just come here and stay sober. And that's how I got sober. And I'm still here living with them. And after this tour in July, I'll get my own place. But, you know, I had to do it. Like, there was going to be no Royal Thunder and probably not going to be any more me. I'm pretty sure it was damn near close to killing me. But I'm glad it almost did because it led me to a better place. It really did.
Well, what do you think? Like, how long was it from getting clean to starting work on the new album? Like, what was that process like? Was it you're ready as soon as you were cleaned up, ready to get right back in the swing of things, or to kind of take a while to get the chemistry back and get back in that groove? Or how did that work?
I got sober just to make the album, which I think was, when did we fucking record? We did a single, and then I think the album, I think we recorded it in October, I want to say? Don't quote me on that. But I was sober for I think it was 3 weeks it took us to make the album. I was sober for those 3 weeks, and as soon as the last song was done, I was drinking, like, immediately. Right back where I started. But that stretch of sobriety kind of sucked because I didn't really want it. I did it because I felt like I wanted to like be present and show up and like honor, you know, what we're doing as a band. I didn't want to let anyone down. So I was sober during that, but I did not like it. I didn't want to do that with my life. I wasn't ready. So like I said, I immediately started getting fucked up. And then, I think we were doing, you know, we were filming a lot of the process of making the album. And I remember being interviewed and I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I'm just fucking hungover. And my bandmates didn't know that I had been drinking. And then, yeah, fast forward February. But so I hit it like extra hard.
When did Evan rejoin the band and how did that? Was that like an instantaneous kind of shot in the arm as far as getting everybody back together? Was that really what started the process of getting a new album? Or did he come in kind of after the fact, after y'all had written the songs? Or how did that come about?
I was on my back porch at the time at my old house, and I got this like message from him. And it was just immediately like walls down, like got right to that place where he was like, I miss you guys. I love you guys. I'm sorry. I walked away, you know, and he had played with other people and he's like, you just don't know what you have until it's gone. And we felt the same way. Just fucking scooters going on. It's crazy. They look wild. So he hits me up and we start talking and it's just like, all right, cool. You need to talk to Josh. He's like, all right, bet. So we get Josh and him together. And then almost immediately, within like a week, we were writing. Well, I take that back. They were mostly writing. I was still kind of half in, half out. I mean, I wanted it, but you know, who knew if I was going to come through or not. But eventually we got together. They did all of the writing, actually. They were really good about it. Like, you know, we were writing remotely, and then they kept waiting for me to jump on. And, you have any ideas? You have bass parts? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, this week I'll do it. Never came through. I was very last minute. but it worked out. It really did work out. I am, you know, in the past, not so far behind me. Like, I wasn't really the kind of person who'd be like, that sounded good. I did a good job. That looks great. Like, I'm proud of myself. But I actually am very proud of that. This album, it means a lot to me. Like, it's like, it wasn't only a second chance. It felt like we were taking a chance in the way the songs were written. It was very different. It wasn't like, hey guys, hope you like this song. Disclaimer, you have 17 minutes before you hear any vocals. You know, like, we always took the long way. And it wasn't intentional to have things feel more like minimalistic, or that wasn't intentional at all, or to like keep it under a certain time. But it's kind of funny that it happened that way, and I don't know why. And it's strange to me, because we're all in a different headspace, and that's what came out was like short, sweet, you know, not cutting corners, but like getting it out. And so, yeah, now I'm rambling.
Well, no, I was actually going to ask about the difference in the song lengths and kind of how it's kind of more economical, kind of gets more straight to the point. And lyrically, songs like Knife pretty much lay out, you know, what you were struggling with. Was it always going to be your kind of goal to make it autobiographical as far as the lyrics were concerned? Or were you ever thinking more of doing it more kind of like metaphorically, or just, is that just your, just kind of your route to be really direct? Or was that new for you as far as being kind of bare about what had happened?
I honestly didn't go into the studio with many ideas about how I felt about anything. I actually remember feeling like I didn't have any ideas and I didn't have anything to say. Although I felt a lot of things, I didn't have that. I wasn't tapped in like where I would normally be. But I really believe that there is a common thread. There's, you know, a string running through all of it. And it wasn't it happened that way. It wasn't on purpose. But I have a tendency, well, no, not a tendency. I always step back and get out of the way and like get out of my head and get out of myself. And I have always kind of tapped into whatever it is out there in the beyond us. But I've always just kind of opened myself up to like, what are you saying? What's this song about? And it just kind of comes to me, and I don't necessarily always understand it. I'm not always lined up with it. I'm not always experiencing it in that moment. But like, it's usually after an album's done and I sit back and listen to it, I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, my phone's making noises. So that's when, you know, when it's completed, I'm like, oh fuck. Well, that turned out to be me, like, you know, rebuilding the mountain was me trying my higher self, my, you know, future Mel, looking into that moment, that time that I was like being in a dark place and just being ready to take me out of it and trying to help me hear the truth about where I was headed and where I could go. I don't know why that happened, but it's pretty cool because now I'm like, oh fuck, that totally ended up happening. But that's pretty common, and I'm not trying to take credit for it. I honestly believe sometimes the lyrics have in that, you know, when they're you know, coming to me, they're not necessarily from me. It, like, I'm not. Maybe that makes sense. I don't know. But eventually, you know, it is something. I feel like a vehicle a lot of times when it comes to art and, like, you know, weird ideas that'll pop up in my head. Like, I can think of like a comic book strip. And I'm like, who the fuck? Who's is that? Like, you know, it's just like thoughts or ideas or feelings. And I don't know. I feel like we're just all vehicles for, like, whatever we're here to share to make things better. I hope that's true. I think it's true. So there you go. It's true for me.
No, I think that is definitely, I mean, to me, the thing about music has always been, I think it's a healing thing. So I imagine it was therapeutic for you. And I also imagine it'd be therapeutic for anybody listening to it who's going through something similar.
Yeah.
I really love the opening song. It's probably my favorite, Drag Me. I like that one a whole lot. Just the mood of it and your vocals and everything. Was that one that was written early on, or how did that song come about? And do you remember that kind of?
That one, that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do on this song. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. And, oh God, it's like, I had just had a conversation. How do I say this? I just had a conversation with someone, and it really, the mood in the room at that time, not saying necessarily that it was a conversation with somebody in the room or around or whatever. It was just a conversation had, and I was in that room after the conversation, and the room just felt like thick with like tension and like fear and like totally disconnected. And I didn't realize that the conversation that I had had, the lyrics that came about were the consequences of what I had said. Like, so the words ended up being like, so you said this, you did this, you painted it this color, check it out. Here's what you did. And it turns out I did go down the path that I was singing about. Like, all those things happened, and a lot of regret in that song, a lot of like, fuck, I'm a liar, and I, you know, at the time, I really try not to be a fucking liar, and I actually don't consider myself a liar. I was lying at that time, and lying to myself, and really just opened up a fucking can of worms. So that song's about, you fucked up, like, you better hope you got a chance at mending this, and it's still kind of floating out there, but it definitely dragged me down big time.
Was that Dancing With Myself line a little Billy Idol homage, or was that
just... No, I thought of like, after the fact, I'm like, man, there's a lot of like Dancing With Myself or Dancing By Myself songs. And the first one that pops in my head is Robin, Dancing On My Own. That's a good song. but no, I wasn't tipping my hat, but I'm sure, I don't know. I think it's a great way to, you know, allow someone like maybe the visual experience of like, fuck. Cause it's like, man, now I'm just like, I'm out there by myself, like in my own, you know, when you start dancing, you just get in your own world.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like zoned out.
So I mean, speaking of, I know that he wasn't an influence, but I think it's interesting how you guys, I know I've listened to like here in past articles saying that you're influenced by bands like The Cult and things like that. And I kind of hear that always in your sound, but I also even heard like some My Bloody Valentine kind of stuff in some of these songs. Was there any music you were listening to that kind of inspired you while you were making this album in particular, or it just came out the way it came out?
My Bloody Valentine, I'll definitely tell Josh he said that. And he's a big fan of My Bloody Valentine. I like My Bloody Valentine as well, but not as much as him. And what was the other one? My Bloody Valentine and then The Cult. The Cult, I don't know. I think of The Cult and I'm like, I feel like we're the Cult's little brother, just being like, "You're so cool. Can we play with you? Can we hang out?" And like, get over it. Get in your lane, kid. Like, definitely not ever trying to sound like anyone, but we all love The Cult a lot.
Have you ever met them before?
Yeah. No. Me and Evan and Josh saw them one time in Vegas at a casino when we were on tour. We got like our tour manager knew somebody. So we got like wristbands to get in, not backstage or anything, but just to get into the thing. And I swear that Ian Asbury looked at me and was like, probably it didn't happen. And John Tempesta just like made eye contact with Evan and smiled. And Billy Duffy, I'm pretty sure he shook Josh's hand or something. None of that happened, but that's like the closest we've ever gotten is like in our minds, like, did you see that? He just pointed at me.
I bet they would love you. I met them. I've interviewed Billy and Ian before. They're the coolest. I mean, just very like down to earth, more than you would expect. You know, I mean, they have a little bit of a rock star attitude, but you know, it's.
Yeah. Just a little sprinkle there. I'm like, yeah, I know you guys should totally have a little. You should have a little in your stuff because they're just so fucking cool. And Billy Duffy's guitar tones are like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's that Gretsch and everything is pretty amazing.
And John Tempesta is like best drummer ever. I could go on and on.
Well, one thing is for certain, even though no matter what you went through, your voice still sounds fantastic. It's always when I listen to your band, like I hear songs, even past songs like Time Machine and stuff, I'm always taken by the strength of your voice. Was there any, did you have any issues as far as kind of getting singing, like any vocal coach stuff because of your state, or what, you're just naturally, that's your voice and you're good to go? And you didn't need to.
To step back a little bit, we were talking about like music that influenced.
Yeah.
Album. I actually could not listen to music during the pandemic. I couldn't. I just quit listening to music. It was too depressing. It was, I don't know, it just felt so far away, which is really weird. So, in saying that, I didn't sing like at all. I hardly ever sing. I don't know how I still have something, and I hope I always do. But no, I don't. I really don't know what I'm doing. What I do know is since I was 13, I was in like grindcore bands and metal bands and did a lot of screaming and weird things to my voice. So I think maybe there's some damage and it's already been done. And I've just been riding out the result of that. I don't know how I can sing, but I just do. But I definitely have a weird fucking like psychosomatic issue pretty much every time before I go get on stage or before band practice. I have like these weird vocal panic attacks where I'm like, oh, I can sing. Because like if I don't sing for a month, like, you know, sing like band practice or use it loudly outside of being like, so I always get this weird thing. I make myself hoarse. I like freak myself out and I lose it. And after we did the album, we went to band practice because we had those shows coming up in January. So we started preparing before that. And I went to sing and I was like, I can't do it. We have to tune down. We have to tune down. And they were like, we did this whole album on this key. Like, what kind of tuning down? I'm like, we're going to have to go a whole fucking step, dude. I can't do this live. I like freak myself out like that all the time. I wasn't sober at that time. So I had like a weird fucking panic thing. That hasn't been there since, I think. I might be lying about that. But I remember we tuned down and I did the album like that and it sounded horrible. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't sing an E. Josh was like, all right, break. And he goes up, we practiced at a music store, and he goes upstairs and he gets a reverb pedal and he puts it on my vocals and just cranks it. Because, you know, everybody sounds great.
reverb. Like, yeah.
This is like a ridiculous amount of reverb. And he's like, we're tuning back up. We're like, let's do this again. You got this. And Evan's like, well, you do this every time. You think your fucking voice is like broken in half and your windpipe's got a cut in it. And there's like a grape stuck on your thing. Like, like I'm always making something up. So we did it like that. And I was like, oh, sorry. Sorry, guys. My fucking brain. And then we were fine. I didn't think I sounded very good in January, but I wasn't feeling too great either. It was probably fine. I was real disconnected. That was the first time I'd ever played music and was like, where am I? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with like my head and my heart.
All worked out because the new album, yeah. I mean, I think it's fantastic and you sound great. I mean, I really...
Thank you.
I've liked all your albums, but this one, it just has a really unique bent to it. Do you think that's a direction you all want to continue in as far as like the shorter songs and being more to the point? Or you think the next album could be even more sprawling and you just kind of take it as it goes? And or have you even thought about that?
I haven't thought about it, but now that you're asking, I feel like it'd be cool to surprise ourselves again. I feel like we always do. Like every album, I'm like, I didn't see that coming. Cool. But I would love to have that experience like we did with Rebuilding the Mountain. Just like, whoa, weird. Cool, that worked. Like, but who knows? No, we haven't. I wrote a song. I don't know if it's good or not because every time I play it, Josh kind of giggles. And I'm like, what am I like? Am I just not realizing that I'm playing a song that's already, why are you laughing? Not in a mean way. He's like, he'll record it. And I'm like, can we use it? No confirmation on that. Outside of that, Josh has a couple songs, few songs just floating around. And now that I'm living with him and his girlfriend, I'm like, getting a chance to hear that he's in their like baby stages, you know, and that shit's really cool. Me and his girlfriend would just sit on the couch. Like, we had this one day where he just played for like an hour, and we both just like lay down on the couch and like we were lying down, and we were going on these like trips in our mind. This was really cool. We had some cool visuals, and then we talked about it afterwards. But he writes cool stuff, man. He's just born to do it, you know? Now I'm glad I get to be in a band with him because it makes my life easier because he inspires the fuck out of me and I just kind of follow his lead a lot of the time.
Well, I know that I've seen you're doing some East Coast tour days. I'm down in Austin. Any plans you think for coming down to Texas anytime soon or is that?
I honestly don't know where we're going. I kind of know. I just looked at it and was like, oh, cool. Let's tour. Fuck it. That's cool. I know it's East Coast. You know, this is Royal Bliss's tour. So I wonder, like, they're playing in a lot of different places. Like, you know, they're butting up to like a circuit that we would normally go to like a different part. So I'm really curious to see, experience that, like go to like a smaller part of, you know, a state. That's going to be really cool and really new for us. And I expect to have some new little buddies, four buddies, first round of the new chapter. One of our favorite bands we toured with was The Sword.
Oh, yeah.
We could have toured with them forever, man. It's like, man, you just want to do East Coast? You want to do West Coast? You want to do Europe? It's like forever. Really cool guys.
I know the last time No, it's fine. The last time I saw y'all actually was with Monster Magnet when you opened up for them. Like, I saw that. It's been a while, but that was a really, really good show.
Yeah, that was fun. Oh, was it that little club?
Yeah, it's changed like names five times, and I think it was called Red 7 at the time.
Oh, yeah. They had an outdoor part too?
Yeah.
Yeah, we played there a lot. Oh, man. We played there with Black Wizard and Brant Bjork too. That was a cool spot. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a cool place. It was called Barracudas now. Now it's, I don't even know what it can't seem to keep an identity for very long, but
it's like, dude, there's beer here and bands. Like, what's the confusion?
Well, I guess going forward, I mean, I was reading in the press release too, where you were basically saying that this feels almost like a new band for you, like you're kind of starting, you're all kind of starting from page one again. So, I mean, do you feel kind of like the sky's the limit for where you guys can go next, or just kind of being taking baby steps, getting out there after all you've been through, or where is your mindset like as far as the future of the band is concerned?
I am kind of sitting on, you know, what the possibilities are moving forward. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I think good things, you know, the future of the band, I don't know. It just feels good. It feels different this time around. And maybe that's because I feel more present than we all are. Except y'all are leaving. Bye. Josh is different. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't want to have really any expectations other than to have a good experience. You know, I think this is a good new, I don't know if it's a new book or a new chapter. It feels somewhere in the middle. You know?
Well, I wish you all the best with the album and the tour. And hopefully if you guys come down to Austin, I will definitely be there. Actually, you know what? No, I saw you on the Crooked Doors tour too. I just remember now I saw you at another little club in Austin where you guys played a set, which was great. I had a memory lapse there, but
yeah, like, shit, I don't remember most tours. So.
But hopefully you get to see y'all soon.
Yeah. Thank you for your time. Sorry again about the first attempt.
Oh, no problem.
Cool. Right on. Thank you for your time, dude.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Many thanks to Melanie for taking the time out for this interview. If you're looking to pre-order the album, check out the blog link for this episode with a link to order. As promised, I'll be playing a track off the new album. It's called Cut. It's the song I mentioned earlier that sounds a lot like My Bloody Valentine, but has their own unique stamp on it for sure. I think you really dig it. So give it a listen. Buy the new album, and until next time, stay safe and stay sane. Tree.